We talked last week about the need to let Jesus be in control of our lives. To let Him be the one who drives us through this life. As we continue in that idea, this morning I want to talk about the need for us to recognize that we are followers. When we talk about the need to teach others and we start teaching our young people, we start talking about our own situation, and we've been talking about the qualifications and such for elders as we looked at 1 Timothy, and we'll be looking at that in the book of Titus this evening in our Bible class as we look at those qualifications as Paul lists them there. We talk about the need to train people to be leaders, and it's important that we train one another and we help one another to grow to be leaders. But I think sometimes in doing that we overlook the need for us to emphasize that we are all followers. Only some of us are going to make it to the point where they are leaders. We've all heard the phrase, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I know that's probably one of those phrases we're not supposed to say anymore. But we got too many people in charge and not enough people doing, not enough people following along. Maybe we should just use the too many cooks in one kitchen idea. Maybe we'd recognize that a little more. Because we want everyone to learn how to be a leader, sometimes we emphasize that idea. We all need to be leaders. And that feeds into our, well, I want to say ego, but maybe that's a little too strong a word. That feeds into our self-worth idea. I want to be the one who decides. I want to be the one in charge. I want to have a position of authority where people look up to me. It's just generally an idea that most human beings desire. They want to be the one calling the shots. But that's not really what we find when we look at the pages of Scripture. When we look at Scripture, we find that the one thing that we can guarantee that everybody is going to be, no matter what relationship they are in, every single one of us needs to learn that we are followers. We follow something, someone else. Maybe that's why we have so much difficulty with letting Jesus take control of our life, letting Him drive. I've been watching a discussion off and on online over the last several days where Brother Edwin Crozier made mention that he saw a vehicle in front of him that had two bumper stickers. One said, "I direct me," and the other one said, "Jesus has the wheel." And he made the comment that those two statements cannot both be true. Now, he's gotten a lot of flack for that, because people say, "I don't mean what you think I mean when I say I direct me. I direct me in accordance with law." But one of the points he made is, if we are of the attitude that I direct me, even if we're saying I direct me according to the law of Christ, we're much more likely to go after the things that we want than the things that Jesus wants. We need to learn that we are followers. We follow. Even those of us who are in a situation where we might be classified as a leader, we are followers. And I think that's something that we need to emphasize. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. As I mentioned Wednesday night, we were going to talk either about following or about leading. And by the way, we got another lesson coming that'll be a little more along the lines of leading others. But I wanted to do this one first because it's important before we become a leader, before we get in a position to teach other people and help other people along the way, we need to understand that I am just a follower. I follow. No matter where I may be going. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, the fact that we are followers. And we will start in one of the situations that is probably the most familiar to all of us, and that is in the family. We need to recognize that everyone in every part of the family, husband, wife, children, grandparents, great-grandparents, whoever we may be talking about, follows. There may be others who follow them, but they are first and foremost followers. And somebody's thinking probably, as I did when I first started considering this, well, you know, when we look at the pages of Scripture, it says the wife is supposed to follow the husband. It doesn't say the husband's supposed to follow the wife. So he's a leader. But, of course, when we look at what Paul has to say there in Ephesians chapter 5, we find that's not exactly the case. Follow with me as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, and any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And we've discussed this in the past. We studied through the book of Ephesians and we've talked about these passages. We've done lessons about the husband-wife relationship, and I'm pretty sure we'll do lessons on them again at some point, because it's a very vital relationship as we work to serve the Lord. But one of the things that I think sometimes we don't emphasize enough, and I've been trying to make sure I do that as I go through and do lessons, is that both the husband and wife have responsibilities in this relationship to one another. God said the husband will leave his father and mother and hold fast or cling to his wife. There's that image in my mind, at least, of following after. We talk about followers on the internet, at various social websites. We follow somebody, and what we mean by that is we keep close contact with them as much as we can on those sort of interfaces. We look to see what they say. We consider their ideas. I'm sure all of us have someone that we follow in the sense that we want to know what's going on with them. Some folks we follow very closely because we're concerned about them and we have care about what their wants and their concerns are. As parents, we're leaders over our children, but we have concerns about them, so we keep in touch with them. And I think that's important for us to note in the husband-wife relationship. Yes, Scripture says the wife submits to the husband. She follows the husband, but the husband is supposed to follow his wife to some degree as well. He has a responsibility for her care. Look what it says about Jesus in regards to the church. He cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You ever done the washing? How hard is it to make sure the white shirts come out without spot or wrinkle? That's a lot easier now than it used to be. But it takes effort. It takes work to make sure that that comes out clean. Most of us at some time or another have tried to make something spotless for one reason or another. Whether it's dishes, it's clothes, maybe it's in woodworking, maybe it's in our automobile. We try to make it spotless. We don't do that by just hit and miss. We do that by purposeful attitude and focus. And that's what Paul here tells us God expects of husbands in regard to their wives. We have to work at helping them. In that sense, we have such a connection to them that we are, to some degree at least, followers of them. But more importantly, when we look at what God says here about the hierarchy in the family, the wife follows the husband follows Christ. Everything we do as husbands in that relationship has to be regulated by Christ, or it's not going to be as it ought to be. It may work out okay in the long run, but it's not going to be as it should be. In the family, in the husband-wife relationship, both have a responsibility to be followers. If you don't know how to follow, you're not going to be a good leader in your family. You go a little further down into Ephesians chapter 6 and we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And we read that, okay, children have to follow their parents. And this is true. They have a responsibility to honor and respect their parents, to listen to the instruction of their parents as they're growing up, to learn. They are to follow their parents. But you know, as we studied over in the book of Thessalonians, there's a responsibility, and even in Timothy and several other of the epistles of Paul, we find things that tell us that a man is responsible to take care of his family. And there we see maybe not the same strength of relationship we have with a husband toward his wife, but we see a responsibility toward those individuals. And in that sense, they have to be paying attention to their children. Parents have to give attention to what their children's needs are, so that they can instruct them in the right way, so those children will live long and prosper in the land. We have a responsibility as parents toward our children. And again, even more so, as parents, we are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You just read another verse or so down there. We're to teach them the ways of God, which is a reminder again that even though we may be a leader in the family, we're still a follower of Christ. You see, no matter what relationship we're in, we're followers first and foremost. If we want to be leaders, we have to know how to follow. I think that's something that we miss sometimes as we go about talking about our relationships, especially here on earth. We also recognize that we are followers in society. Of course, when we start talking about this, we turn over to Romans chapter 13. And we look at those first seven verses in Romans chapter 13 where Paul says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Paul is very plain here. In the government citizen relationship, we are followers. We follow the laws of the land. We submit to government. And I'm not going to say I've heard all of the arguments about it, but I've heard arguments about, well, what if they're causing us to do things that we shouldn't? Well, we've got other rules that can override government, but generally, in all circumstances, we have a responsibility to submit to our government. And one of the things that always comes to mind every time somebody starts talking about, well, what if they want... Paul was talking about the Roman government. Paul was giving instruction to Christians who were living under the Roman Caesars, emperors, who were not very nice to Christians at all. And he still said, submit. Now, what we know when we look at those things, as history has shown us, and we can see in our own leadership in a lot of cases, our leaders have forgotten that they are followers. In fact, almost literally, the government of our nation is designed such that our leaders are actually followers of the citizenry. They're responsible to the citizenry. But we won't get into all of that. There's lots of little trails we could turn off on and get way away from where we want to be. What the Scripture tells us is that the authorities in the land should be subject to God. God tells them, this is as far as you can go. Because here's my rules that overreign everything. We have to deal with leaders who don't submit to God in a lot of areas. But we still have to submit to those leaders because we are followers. And even if we were by some means to get ourselves into a position of leadership in government, we would still be followers because we would have to submit to God above all. And with the structure of the law of our land, we're still held responsible to the citizen. You see, that's one of the areas that really emphasizes this idea that no matter how much of a leader you are, you're still a follower first. Way, way, way back in the days of old, when I was running track in high school, I remember there being a plaque over the entrance to the boys' locker room. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. That's kind of the way we think about it. We want everybody to be a leader. If you're not going to be a leader, accept that you're a follower. And if you're not going to do that, then get out of the way because you're just causing trouble. And there's some usefulness in that. But maybe if we taught everyone to be followers first, we wouldn't have so many people in the way, and we would have better leaders in our families and in our society. We need to recognize that we are followers first and foremost. I am not the one in charge of anything, ultimately. And the same is seen in what we commonly look at in regards to our employer-employee relationship, our job. We look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, and of course we read their bondservants, but we see how this relates to our employer. An employee situation, our job situation. Paul says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone else does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. And while, you know, we're still talking about this idea of government also, and we've already made mention of family, when we read this passage, it really emphasizes that idea that no matter what relationship we're in, we enter into and interact in that relationship as someone who is a follower of Christ. He's above all other relationships. It doesn't matter who our boss is. We work as if we're serving our Master Jesus. He is our Lord. He needs to be the one in charge of all aspects of our life. If we're giving our honor to the government, we give honor to the government as if we're giving honor to the Lord, because the government is there because the Lord put it there. God gave us government. When we go and we work for our boss to earn our pay, we're working not just to please that boss, we're working to please the Lord. And the same is true of those who would be employers, who would have others underneath them. They need to serve those others just like Christ serves us. Certainly, it's not going to be the exact same, because we're not talking about a spiritual relationship here. We're talking about a physical relationship. But we look out for the well-being of. I think that's one of the things we see in the husband-father relationship to the rest of the family. Because he is emulating Christ and he's a follower of Christ, he serves those who are following him. Because he follows. He's concerned about them. And I think we need to see the interaction in that relationship and the responsibility that even a leader has toward those who are following him. Maybe not the same responsibility as the followers have to the leader, but certainly there's a responsibility there, a concern for their well-being. And of course, again, we could start here and we could go off on several tangents that would talk about what all's wrong with our relationships in society today, because people aren't serving God in all capacities of life. But instead of doing that, let's just start with here. The only person that I can fix, the only person I can teach to be a follower is me. I can tell everybody else about it. I can show you the scriptures that says, okay, here's the scriptures that tell us we need to be followers in all aspects of life. No matter what position we hold, we need to understand that we are just followers. And we have responsibilities both directions, to those above us and those below us in that hierarchy. I can talk about all that, but the only person I can fix on that is me. I'll have some pretty strong influence over my wife, maybe a little bit of influence over my children after they've grown up and left home. But really, all I can do is tell them about it, and they're the ones that have to make the change. They're the ones that have to make the adjustment. Just like I'm the only one that I can fix. You're the only one that can fix you. We have a responsibility to recognize that no matter what relationship we're in, we are followers. And you know, it doesn't matter if a person believes in Christ or not. The order of things is still God, Christ, man. No matter what other relationship may come under that, it's always going to be under the umbrella, so to speak, of God, Christ. Because the most important area where we need to recognize that we are followers is in the area of the spiritual life. And here again, we will start. Now I hesitate to say we'll start at the top and work down, but we're going to start with even those who are leaders. Notice what the Hebrew writer says. He says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith." Elsewhere we read in a couple of different places, Paul say, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ," or "Follow me as I follow Christ." We see Peter telling us that Christ is our example in suffering, and Peter talks about how he's trying to leave an example for other people to follow in his word, so that even when he is gone, they will be able to imitate Christ as he has imitated Christ. He doesn't use the same words that Paul does, but the import of his message is the same. We need to learn to follow the leaders that Christ has given us, whether that be the spiritual leader in our home who should be the husband, father of our home, or that be the leaders of a particular congregation, which ideally would be elders. If a congregation doesn't have elders, then certainly it's hopeful that there are at least some men who have wisdom, men who have learned the Word of God and are being a good example of righteousness. And if you've got more than one, I'd wonder why they're not elders. But we recognize those men as men that we can imitate as they imitate Christ. Ultimately, it is Christ we are following. But Paul tells us when we have that story from Luke in Acts chapter 20 about the leaders of the church in Ephesus and how they came to Paul at Miletus on that final missionary journey, I guess we could say, that we have recorded anyway, before he went into prison. Paul called the Ephesian elders to Miletus because he had some instruction for them. And while he gave them instruction about leading others and the responsibility of the congregation, he also told them that you are a follower. Follow along. Paul says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Greeks and Jews of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." In essence, Paul says, you've seen the life I lived while I was among you. You know what I did. So, emulate it. Follow the example I have left. Wait, he's talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And Paul says, you elders have a responsibility to follow. You've seen what I did. Well, now, he didn't say imitate. But continue. Now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not count my life of any value or as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Now, pay attention here. Pay careful attention to yourselves. Elders, see if you are following that same example. And to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which He obtained with His own blood. You, as leaders of that congregation there in the city of Ephesus, are still responsible to a leader. You need to follow. Then you can lead. The leaders of the church have a responsibility first and foremost to God, to Christ, to the New Testament teaching. And Paul started out telling them this by describing the way he had lived while he was among them. He was an apostle. He was a teacher, a leader among them. And Paul said, you as leaders need to pay attention that you are submitting to Christ as well. Then you can help the flock. Careful attention to yourself and to the flock. Why? Because I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That doesn't sound like someone who is following. That sounds like someone who is focusing upon having followers. We've seen this multiple times as we've studied in the epistles of Paul on Wednesday evening. We've seen this was the express reason that Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to deal with false teachers there who were trying to drag people away from Christ to become followers of themselves. We saw this in the Corinthian letters, that there were those who were trying to pull people away from the plain and simple teaching of the gospel that Paul had delivered so that they could make a name for themselves. They were more interested in being leaders and in being followers. Why? Because we have a general leaning toward being in charge. We like to be the one that everybody else looks up to. And if we're not constantly on guard against that, it's very easy for us to fall into that. And so we need to constantly be reminding ourselves that we are followers. Again, Paul says, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Remember how I lived among you, what my concerns were, because it's important that you follow them as well. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. I wasn't trying to make a name for myself. I was trying to bring you closer to God. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know who wants to receive? Somebody that's focused upon being in charge, being a leader. We've seen that with the kings in the history of Israel. Even David, as righteous as he was, received. He did give back. But we surely saw it in several of the judges, and we saw it in Saul, who was more interested in getting than in giving. That's the way leaders are. That's what Israel was warned about having a king. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know who gives? The follower. And of course, Scripture teaches us that the more we give, the more we receive. If we're giving with the right attitude, with the right focus of heart. If we're giving because we are followers of Christ and striving to live like He did, we will receive. Brethren, we need to recognize that first and foremost, we are followers. No matter what position we may be in, we are followers of Christ. Again, we go to the book of Luke. In chapter 6, verse 46, beginning, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you say, I am your leader? I am the one that you look to, that you seek to receive from and follow after, but then you don't do what I tell you to do. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus tells us that we need to be followers. Not just listening, not just hearing words, but actually taking what is said into our hearts and doing what God asks us to do. You know, when we read the similar account of these things over in Matthew chapter 7, before Jesus gets into this story of the builders, he says in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" These people were busy doing a lot of things, but they weren't things they were doing in following Jesus. They were things they were doing in following themselves. We need to recognize that we are followers, and we must be followers of Jesus above all else. There is no way for us to get through this life without being a follower. You know, when we look at life itself, we recognize that it begins as a follower. And for many of us, it will end as a follower in our physical life. We're entirely dependent upon somebody else, and we must submit to that individual. And as we get older and we're less able to care for ourselves, we find more and more and more we physically have to submit to others. You remember what Jesus told Peter? There's a time coming when you will be led where you don't want to go by others. It's only in the middle of our life that we think we are leaders and in charge of everything. Because when we start out, we can't. We're not able to. And as we get older, if we live long enough, we're going to become less and less able to be the one in charge. We submit to someone else, whether it's a doctor because of our health issues, or we have to give in to our children because we can't care for ourselves like we need to, and they have to take care of us. Oh, if we raise our children right, they'll still honor and respect us. But you know, there's a whole lot of things my mom can't do now unless one of us helps her with it. She can't do, she, in a sense, has become a follower. Maybe that physical image in your head, having seen that with dealing with your own parents, we've seen that in others as they grow older, will be something that will remind us that from the beginning to end of life, we're followers. And certainly in our spiritual lives, there is absolutely nothing I can do to save myself on my own. That doesn't mean I don't have responsibilities toward my salvation. I do. God has told me that if I want to receive salvation that He freely gives, I have to submit to Him completely. I have to give myself wholly over to Him. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, we read, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." But I can't save myself. No matter what I do, I am not capable. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power to save me. So if I want to be with God in eternity, the one thing I know for certain I must do is I must submit, follow God. I'm the one that has to hear His Word. I'm the one that has to understand His Word. It has to bring about belief in my heart. So it's not that I don't do anything. I'm the one that has to say, "God, I recognize that I have sinned against you. I've tried to follow my own way or the way of some other man. And now I see that that way is worthless and useless. It's the wrong path And the only way that I can find salvation is to submit to you. So, Father, I repent of those things. I turn away from those sins. And I confess them to you as I acknowledge that I have wronged you. And then when we did that in the past, we as Christians submitted completely, literally put our life in the hands of God and were buried in water. Put to death the old man and rise anew out of that watery grave of baptism. And in doing so, we had our sins washed away, made cleansed and whole. Of course, the question for each of us this morning is, am I still just following Jesus? Do I have some areas of life where I'm still kind of holding on to me a little bit? We must be followers. Look this morning and find in your life there are things where you're holding on to self. And you want to keep control of that area. You're not letting God be in charge there. You still want to direct you there. Recognize that will lead to your demise. You must submit to the Lord in everything. Confess that to Him. Ask Him to forgive you of your wrongs. And give your life wholly to Him. Pray to Him and ask Him to forgive. And He's promised that He will. And you can be right with Him again. And you can let Him be in charge of all of your life. And heaven is your hope. If what you've done has brought shame and reproach in a public manner, however minor or large that shame may be, we would urge you to correct it publicly. But whatever the case, if there's sin in your life, get it right with God. Admit it. Ask Him to forgive. And move forward with Him in charge. If we can help, opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for encouragement.